Tops Up, the official podcast for the Queensland Roots.
G'day and welcome back to the fourth episode of Season 2 of Socks Up. I'm your co-host, Ryan Smith. We've partnered with Triple M to produce this podcast, which is designed to take you behind the scenes and into the sheds of the Queensland Reds.
Hey guys, it's Matt, Ryan's co-host. As always on the potty, we'll cover some rugby chat and some club news. However, the main point of the show is to introduce everyone to Reds players past and present, find out what makes them tick, and to show you a side of them not usually seen on the big screen at Suncorp, as well as finding out who really needs to pull their socks up.
Our special guest today is one of our young guns, a 2024 Super Rugby debutant. He spent the last 2 years in the Build Corp Reds Academy and after some great showings in pre-season was elevated into the senior squad. Hailing from Gunnedah in New South Wales before moving to the Sunshine Coast, he's an impressive ball carrier with great footwork and an impressive command over the team.
Yes, 20-year-old fly half Harry McLaughlin Phillips, aka HMP, is Queensland Red number 1388, a junior wallaby, a product of Brisbane Boys College and a Souths Magpie. He's an exciting talent and a pleasure to be around at the club. Welcome to the show, Harry.
Thanks for having me. It's a privilege to be on here.
A privilege. Thanks humble. So much, mate. Humble guy. I like grateful. That. It's a great start.
Well raised.
A couple of years in the academy. I think you did 2 pre-seasons with us and then mate, straight in, signed into the core squad and away we go. Get some starts in those pre-season games, which is, you know, a little bit of a baptism of fire, I reckon. But, mate, you handled yourself well. I think you're man of the match in that first game against Pana, is that right?
Yeah.
And, mate, we're into it. How's it all been? It's been a bit of a ride, I could say.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome being able to come in and play Super. It's definitely a big step up. Obviously, playing the Prem Grade comp last year and then getting the opportunity to move up through preseason. Yeah, it's been awesome. It's been really happened pretty quick, but I'm enjoying every moment.
Obviously, you've already in such a short time had been under 2 different head coaches at the Reds already. You know, Thorny's preseason pretty different from Les's. How'd you find the difference between those two?
Yeah, there's probably a bit of a difference between the two coaches. Obviously, last year I didn't get the chance to stay through the season and see what a season was like, but I had the preseason and we had that camp up at Harvey Bay. So, yeah, being able to experience that and see Thorny's style of coaching and then experiencing Les's style with all the new coaches, I guess it's a bit of an eye-opener to see what different styles of coaching there are.
That Harvey Bay camp actually just tweaked it in my memory. How hot was that?
Oh, mate, that was full on.
It was.
That week was outrageous. That's giving me PTSD thinking about it.
I reckon that was a great week, though. It was pretty cool to be able to, you know, live in together. For those that don't know, we did a preseason camp last year at Harvey Bay where we were sort of broken into those little self-contained apartments, that's what I'm looking for, and you know, had little kitchenettes and stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was pretty cool. Very interesting to find out the sort of boys that have got some routines and breakfast
cooking ability.
Ability was definitely pretty varied across the lot. Yes. Remember some of my boys in my room were looking at me a bit weird when I pulled the air fryer out of my bag and had that cooking my breakfast and stuff like that. But no, those sorts of camps are pretty awesome. And I guess for someone new coming into the squad, that sort of camp's pretty cool to be able to give you some time to get to learn the boys instead of just at preseason training, where I reckon as soon as the whistle's blown for the end of training, boys are straight in the shower and get home.
Yeah, it was good. I got roomed with Rongers, so he was a good roomie. Looked
could be
after
the
me.
Weirdest roommate of all time to start with there.
It's actually probably a good, like a nice thing for sort of those younger players like yourself. I think Louis was new that year as well. It kind of gets them a bit comfortable with sort of some of the older players in the squad, which you don't really organically get during regular training week. So, yeah, that was good.
Mm. Talk us through your family makeup. Have you got, I know you've got a brother, but any other siblings? And is rugby a big part of your family?
Yeah, so I've got one brother. He's 21, 18 months older than me. So we sort of grew up similar ages. So we were always playing footy, competing together. But no, footy in my family isn't massive. Like, we haven't really got any family history in rugby. Picked it up as a young kid and just loved it. My dad loves it now, so yeah, he loves coming to watch. So,
and
yeah.
Did you start playing in Gunnedah?
Yeah, so I started when I was 4 in Gunnedah.
Gunnedah Red Devils.
So yeah, and ever since then I've just always played wherever I could pick a footy up.
Mate, it seems this Gunnedah connection just keeps coming back. Big. Harry Wilson, Jake Upfield, I think Inverell's not too far from there as well.
Yeah, so same comp.
Jock Campbell's there. What is it about that that area that's just producing some good talent?
I don't know. I think it's just got a bit of grit about us. Yeah, a bit of dog in us. So
junkyard dog.
Yeah, shout out to Gunnedah for producing some absolute throbbers of the game.
Gunnedah Express was absolutely firing in Japan for that tour the other day.
Yeah, shout out Uppy. Best on. So, mate, you've obviously come through BBC. We'll touch on that in a sec. But sort of going through in those grade rep teams, you've played 20s. How do you find 20s? And has that sort of sparked a flame of you wanting to play higher honours?
Yeah, 20s was an awesome experience. We got to go over to South Africa and play in the World Cup over there. So that was an awesome experience to be able to play with different boys who you don't get to play with, being in those sort of camps and being with the best of your age group. We got to get one over New Zealand over there, so it's always good to beat them. And then, yeah, it definitely sparks a flame to want to represent your country, because it's pretty cool to have the whole country behind you and being able to pull on the gold jersey.
I think just playing with guys, like you say, guys that are all at the top of that level, it really brings a new perspective to it, because, you know, playing against club guys is really good and really competitive, especially in that Queensland comp. But when you're playing against all guys your own age that are, you know, all been, you know, siphoned through and picked as the cream of the crop, it really challenges you. And, you know, some of the things that you might pull off at club don't quite pull off at that level.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, being able to test yourself and every week pushing for selection and stuff like that, yeah, it was really cool. And, yeah, hopefully get the chance to do it again this year.
Just on the back of what Smithy said, what would you pinpoint as a few key things that for the listeners out there that's different from, say, QPR or 20s and then stepping up into super in your position? What are some of the things that you sort of realised, oh, like, shit, I need to do this differently or this better or whatever?
Yeah, I think a big learning for me through this preseason is just, like, having to control the energy of a team. Like, you're not just playing for yourself. Like, you're not going to be able to do the things you can do in QPR or in 20s even. You just got to be able to control a team and use the players around you more to help you, I think, has been the biggest learning for me.
I think it's pretty good, mate. You're only just turned 20. You're 19 for a lot of the preseason and a few games there. And I feel pretty confident walking over to you and getting the call off you. So I think that's a big mark for you, mate. It's pretty cool. You're a pretty quietly spoken kid around the place, but when you get out on the field, you find your voice, which is a big thing for a 10, I'd say.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, mate, it's been good. Mate, on to BBC. You came through there. There's a lot of boys that are in our super squad with Taj. You guys were in the same grade at BBC?
Yeah, we're in the same grade in the boarding house.
A few guys together through Jared Holman and a few of those other boys are there as well.
Zachy Henry,
yeah, right. So, mate, obviously it's a bit of a breeding ground. I know the Carter brothers that are down at the Rebels now, they were there as well.
Yeah.
Gordon brothers?
The Gordon brothers, my bad.
Yeah, they were there. So Mason was in the grade above, and then Carter was probably three grades above me. So, yeah, got to play plenty of footy on the ovals with them.
Were you there from year eight?
Year eight, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
So who coached you then?
I had Shane Drahm in my first year first, and then Steve Kefu in 2021.
Obviously living at the Sunny Coast, but then boarding?
Yeah, so I was living on Sunny Coast. My parents still live up there, and then I was just boarding through the terms.
Sets you up well for a Super Rugby sort of environment. Obviously, we travel every second or third week and pretty tight living in with 40 blokes. I know Jock was the same. Jock boarded, and seems you guys are pretty well set up to get into that environment straight off the bat.
Yeah, I think being in that environment, it sort of just forces you to mature a bit, because you got to look after yourself. You got to sort everything out for yourself. So, yeah, having that opportunity was pretty awesome.
How old were you when you moved from Gunnedah to the Sunny Coast?
I think I was about six, so yep. I was only in Gunnedah for 3 years, and then we moved up to the Sunny Coast and been there ever since.
Yeah, okay. So did you get into the surfing, the skating, all that Sunny Coast good stuff?
A little bit. I think I tried, but I just realised, like, it's a bit hard to play rugby and also skate.
Yeah.
You're just getting hurt all the time, so I had to give up the skating, unfortunately. I think I'd be Tony Hawk by now, but no, I got into it a little bit, but yeah, I sort of stopped that skating, but I'm still doing a bit of surfing when I can. Just good to get out in the waves and have a bit of fun out there.
Just getting hell pitted and just stopping grommets from cutting in on your waves.
Yeah. Was it always just rugby growing up then?
No, I played a lot of Oztag, a lot of touch, a bit of rugby league. And then when I went to BBC, I played volleyball, soccer, sort of just did everything I could. Because obviously at the GPS schools, you get a sport a term, so you can sort of do everything if you want. So,
try it all out.
Yeah, it's good.
Heading into our fourth home game of the year, let's throw to Pete to have a look at this week's club news.
Yeah, thanks, Smithy. Very exciting to be back at Suncorp Stadium. Two weekends in a row, we've got the Highlanders, our first Friday night of the year. Disappointing result last week in Whangarei, just getting pipped at the death against Moana Pacifica. And as we know, our Super Rugby women's season coming to a close with a very gutsy performance against a Waratahs team who are looking pretty hard to stop. From an injury point of view or selection point of view, a couple of disappointing outcomes from that Moana game. Sarah Uru's hurt his thumb. He looks like he'll be out for a few weeks. Talk me through that, because he picks up a lot of knocks, but he doesn't miss a lot of footy.
Oh, mate, yeah, he's tough as nails. He obviously played... no pun intended. He came off the after 80 and was sitting next to me in the change room after the game and just looked over his thumb and, hey, Munna, do you think this is all good? And his thumb's popping in and out, and I said, no, mate, I don't think that's any good. So, yeah, mate, he picks up a lot of knocks, but he bounces back really well. He's really resilient and works hard on that, you know, always doing his recovery really well. So, yeah, hopefully he can turn that around. I know he'll be keen to get to Fiji for that Drua game, so hopefully he can be back for that one.
Just a little explanation for the viewers out there while we all had a little chuckle at, yeah, he's tough as nails. He may or may not have been walking around barefooted on our bye weekend cleaning his house or something, and rusty nail went through his foot, which put him out for a few days. So he was sort of lucky to play on the weekend, and yeah, he's tough as nails.
Got the tetanus clearance. And Josh Fluke, he's got a bit of a shoulder grumble. Hopefully won't be too far away. A couple of suspensions, unfortunately, a couple of our leaders. Tate, he'll miss 3 weeks, and Fraser will miss two. So they'll be missed after red cards over there. But look, what it does do is it provides an opportunity for some of the guys who've been either working away hard in hospital cup or on the bench, and they get an opportunity to move into the starting lineup. Kalani Thomas will start. Cormac Daly and John Bryant will both make their first ever Super Rugby starts. And then on the bench, you see Seth Fargasi coming back into the team after his suspension. Joe Bryle and Louis Wershen both on the bench for potential Super Rugby debuts. So talk us through some of those headlines, but also tell us a little bit about Louis and about Joe, because they're pretty funny characters.
Oh yeah, Louis, he's been around the group for a long while now, and he's an absolute legend, and you know, he really tries his best at all trainings, and he's a pretty good energy driver. I know he's always mucking around in the change room and having a laugh with someone. So mate, yeah, really excited for him to get an opportunity, and yeah, look out for he's pretty tough in defence, and he'll be looking to put some big whacks on. So mate, I wish him all the best for the weekend. And Briley's another one who's come in and spent a lot of time at Canterbury there over in New Zealand, and he's come in and we've been able to draw a lot of information out of him, especially around the mall stuff early in the preseason. And mate, he's been a fierce competitor at every training, and he goes out every training session looking for scalps, and he's claimed a few, I'd say, at training. And yeah, he's definitely earned a crack for this weekend, and yeah, he's an exciting player, both in attack and defence, and he's a real hard man. So it'll be really exciting to watch this weekend. And Johnny Bryant getting his Super Rugby start there.
How good?
Yeah, that'll be good. Talk us through that, HMP.
Yeah, no, awesome for Johnny. He's a hardworking kid. He's put in heaps of work, and yeah, I'm really, really proud of him and excited to see how he goes.
Yeah, he certainly looked at home at the level. I think he's played every game this year off the bench, and yeah, having quite the impact in his maiden season. And the junkyard dog, Timmy Ryan, comes back into the 23 as well. But we buried the lead a little bit there. Matt, I'll come to you first. 50th Queensland cap for our mate Ryan last weekend in Whangarei. You know, what does this guy mean to the team and such a significant achievement? And then perhaps, Ryan, what it means to you?
He's been a real hallmark in our team for the last couple of years. Energizer bunny around the group during the weekend, also on the field. Punches out big minutes, hard minutes, nails his role. He's exactly what you want out of a lock. And yeah, as a personal mate of mine for quite some time now, it's awesome seeing his progression through club footy, bottom fields at Brothers, Canbar operator, into tradie, into a couple of unpaid pre-seasons, and now playing his 50th cap for Queensland. It's pretty epic, and for me, it's pretty special, so I can only imagine how cool it is for himself, his family, and his partner.
Thanks, Matt. That's really nice of you, mate. And it's been cool. It's been a hell of a ride, and I've really enjoyed it. Yeah, I think there was some... That very first preseason, I don't know how much I enjoyed that, doing the getting flogged on the field and heading back into a ceiling to crawl around. But the last few years have been absolutely awesome, and we've got such a great group in there. And I said this at the time, getting my cap, that I absolutely love coming into training every day, and boys make it really easy to get up for and get up for the week, and just try and provide a bit of energy where I can. And nah, it's been good fun, and I was pretty stoked to get one cap, as I said, and to get 50 is pretty cool.
Well, congratulations, mate. We're all extremely proud of you. Other exciting news this week, we have a new commercial partner at the QRU, and this one got plenty of tongues wagging on social media. So we welcome the Jubilee Hotel, a.k.a. The Jube, as our official home of rugby in Brisbane. Have you guys been down to the newly renovated Jube?
I did have a sneaky look on their Instagram, and it looks bloody awesome. Looks like a massive space in there. So, mate, I'll sure get down there sometime and have a look. And heard they do a really good palmy. I know the Academy boys went down there and had a nice little palmy set up there. And, looking forward to getting down there and having a crack.
Yeah, nice and close to Ballymore too, which is good. It's actually sort of kind of on my drive home, which is nice.
Oh, should we go for lunch?
Yeah, it's awesome. Glad they jumped on board. The refurb looks sick. I think they've got a bit of a rooftop option going on there as well, which is nice. Definitely will be paying a visit or two in the near future.
So that's a QRU commercial partner. We know that the podcast sometimes has its own sponsors. Any news on that front?
Still waiting for Yeti to email me, unfortunately.
Yeah. Haven't gone. It's been pretty silent on the other end. We've been barking a lot, so we'll put the call out again. I know Matt's looking for a Yeti sponsorship, golden pancakes and waffles. I know he's really big on those ones pre-game. I'm still waiting for the Crocs to come through if they want to hit me up.
Still local hospital cup. It is humming 2 weeks in. Some teams looking really, really strong and some close games across the first two rounds as well.
Yeah, 100%. Brothers didn't get off to the best start having the bye. So we'll have to catch up some much needed points there. But
big game this weekend.
Yeah, big game. Souths are sitting on top. Shout out Vesty there. He actually got back, which was good to see. Vesey's he's been battling a little bit of injury across the last few weeks, so he got back there at the weekend. So good on you, mate. And they've taken 5 points in both their first games. Has you might be able to?
Yeah, the Magpies have been off to a flyer.
Oh.
It's really good to see.
Yeah, isn't that Norths?
No,
both bird gangs. I don't know.
Compass Cup.
Yeah, Compass Cup Norths. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's going to be a big game this weekend against the Brothers. So. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
A team that's sort of surprising me a little bit is probably Sunnybank. Yeah, Sunnybank getting a close but solid win against Bond away round one, and then just a really narrow defeat to West on the weekend. So, yeah, when they get the cavalry back, fair few of the boys have shifted to the bank in the tight five, likes of Richie, Seth,
Tane.
Yeah, Gups, Tane. They get a few of those guys back. They're actually going to be looking pretty sharp back end, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Still local women's premier grade underway as well. And of course, with Super Rugby women's done for the year, those Reds players dropped straight back in. East, look, they've been outstanding so far. They're really setting the pace. They're in top spot with Sunnybank close behind. But everyone really looking like, you know, it's going to be a really even competition in that still local women's premier grade.
Yeah, there's four teams all sitting on the same points there. So, you know, each weekend's going to really test that. And you need to hold on to wins to hold that top part of the table. And then, you know, as we know, obviously deep into the finals, anything can happen. So you just need to be in that top teams that make finals, and you just need to hold on and get wins, really.
And just finally, a couple of other things. If you want to spend any of your hard-earned this week, we do have tickets on sale for the Queensland Reds versus Wales fixture at Suncorp Stadium on Friday, July 19th. Tickets went on sale this week, and they're flying out the door. By the time this pod comes out, our 2024 Queensland Reds Anzac jersey will have been released. It is a thing of beauty created by Canterbury, with some really special references to Queensland's military past and connection to rugby. So make sure you cop that one as well. And then finally, make sure you grab your tickets to head down to Suncorp Stadium this Friday night, Queensland Reds versus Highlanders. We need that 24th man, 24th woman to get the boys home and get back to winning rugby. I know that we believe we can do it. So hopefully we can get a massive crowd down there cheering on the boys.
For sure. Just onto that Wales stuff, epic opportunity, I think. It's pretty cool that they've sort of gotten involved in a happy on playing a club team, and also following into next year with that Lions tour. It's an awesome prep and awesome experience for us. So if you want more of those exhibition games to be occurring, open up your wallets and get some tickets, and let's get some bums on some seats at the court. Harry, was it last week? I think they just got a couple of the best looking blokes in the team to model the Anzac jersey that's getting released. What, this pod will drop tomorrow? So it got released yesterday. First of all, how does the Anzac jersey look, and who were the guys that did the shoot, bro?
It looks amazing. It's got a lot of meaning behind it, and it's a pretty beautiful jersey. So it'd be a pretty proud moment to be able to wear it. And pretty sure they just went through and looked through the profile pictures and picked the best four of us. So I think that was, you, Matthew, me.
Stop it.
Rabs and JTA.
You reckon?
Yeah. But unfortunately, it was on Goaty week, so
yeah,
see how those pictures turn out.
Yeah. Fraser actually refused to shave his goatee in until afterwards. He was running that little like stubble he's got going. I'm not sure what that is. Gups and I just wore it hard in our sleeves, shaved the goatee and rolled with it.
That actually could be a fine for Fraser, not wanting to participate in goatee week. That's not well, sex sells, boys, so good to see you guys on that one. What does the jersey mean to both of you guys? Have you guys had any family involved in the Defence Force or anything like that?
Yeah, I had my great-grandfather served in World War II, so that's pretty cool to have that family connection and be able to represent that. And then I've got a couple of cousins who served in the Navy. One still serves, so yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a cool opportunity, Fez.
I think Anzac Day is an awesome thing, and it's a great thing that the Reds are getting involved in that again this year.
Yeah.
And sort of paying respects to past and present serving people. Yeah, Australia's an awesome place, and mate, love it.
Mm. I don't jump in often, but just quickly, I think it's important to recognise that this was driven by Tate, Liam, and some of the leaders came to us last year and said, you know, we'd love to find a reason for another special jersey to come into the mixer. So credit to you guys as a playing squad. This is something that's really important to you.
Yeah, I think the commercial team's done a great job. I know there's some fluff-ups across different codes where they try and get the Anzac jerseys and they, you know, use photos of American soldiers and things like that.
Dirty badger clubs.
Yeah. I know that the guys in the top office have done a good job to make sure it was a Queensland image used and Queensland soldiers, and a lot of the, you know, insignia and stuff that's on the jersey are, you know, really related to Queensland, which is obviously really important to us. So I personally love the collar. I think that's pretty sick, and I know there was some chat about the performance aspect of the collar, but that's just purely performance-based, having something extra to grab onto, but yeah, I reckon it looks sick.
So. Yeah, I reckon the collar's awesome. Kind of hoping and prodding a little bit about a retro jersey next year, I reckon it'd be sick.
Yeah.
Maybe like that sort of 2001 with the white with the maroon and navy strip, something like that, but long in sleeve. The same actual jersey that we've got running for this Anzac Day.
The long sleeve, come on.
Cotton.
Yeah, it's heavier than you should be with the cotton.
Under 6 days.
Yeah. Harry, back onto you, mate. What was your first job?
First job, I don't know if I'd call it a job, but I got paid to do it.
A job.
My dad was a fencer, and I'd go out and give him a hand, and then he'd shout me a sausage roll and a strawberry milk. So
that's huge.
Call that my first job.
And do you do any of that still? Does he ever call you up for a hand?
No, not anymore. He's not doing that anymore. Thank God for me. So I was never old enough to actually do any helpful work, so it's probably good that he's out of it.
And are you doing anything on the side, mate? I've got some notes here about Watability.
Yeah. So I've started doing some work with Watability. There's just a disability support service. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty rewarding to be able to work with that company and sort of give back and, yeah, help the community out.
What are you sort of doing there?
Yeah, so you get partnered up with a participant and then you just take them out for a day. You do whatever they sort of want to do. Pretty much just be a mate for them for the day.
You just sit them down and make them watch your highlights?
No.
I would. That's honestly what I would do. Nah, mate, that's awesome. Is that something you'd be interested in kind of doing after, that sort of social work type stuff?
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't be against it. It's pretty cool. It's pretty rewarding. So, yeah, it's something that could definitely be a part of my life after footy.
Yeah, it's obviously really early in your career, and hopefully you've got a long career in rugby, but have you got any ideas of what you were keen to get into post-rugby?
I think coaching would be a pretty cool sort of thing to get into. I'm doing a bit of coaching at the minute down at BBC, the Mighty 13 A's. So
yeah.
I got my first training session tomorrow, so we'll see how that goes. And then I did a bit of coaching last year at Churchy. I coached Frankie, actually.
Really?
I coached him last year. So
that's sick.
That's probably where he's learned everything from.
Yeah, that's how he got signed.
Yeah. But, yeah, so coaching's probably something that I'd probably look at and, yeah.
Would you want to be head coach? You want to transition into coaching a bit of that forward stuff or just strictly in the backs?
I don't think I know enough about forwards jobs to be able to coach there. It all looks too hard, so
yeah.
Probably stick to the backs. Maybe the head coach role.
I actually heard you two had a bit of an interaction at the weekend when they had to feed the ball into the scrum. Obviously, Tate was having a early break,
yep.
and Harry was playing halfback and had to feed the ball into this scrum. And
so stressed.
He was pretty stressed out. And I think Fez gave him a few words, or maybe Fraser sprayed him a little bit.
No, it actually wasn't me. I think it
might have been Fraser.
Oh, Fraser.
Well, I didn't know.
What would I've Fraser never, know, though?
I think Fraser's sitting there watching you going, put it in, put it in, put it in.
I think it might have been me asking him, like, what do I do? I don't know what's going on here. I had no clue. I've never fed a scrum in my life.
It wasn't bad, though, to be honest. It had worse.
Yeah, we got it out of there, worse. So we'll take it.
Stepping away from footy a little bit, mate, like rest, relaxation, getting your body right, that all that stuff's important, as well as your sort of mental break from footy. What do you do outside of it that's not work-related or anything? Like, how do you relax, unwind? Do you play golf? Like, what do you get up to?
I think we touched on it before, but a bit of surfing. Yeah, I got a bit of a group of mates that like to go down or up the coast and hit the waves. So it's probably my biggest thing I like to do outside of footy.
Yeah, nice. Did JB, do you surf with JB?
JB, yeah, he says he surfs, but I've never
been. A bit like Fraser, false advertising with that hair. Looks like he surfs, but
claims to be from the sunny
I've got
coast.
A picture of Fraser surfing.
Left when he was two.
So. I'll back Fraser up. I've got a picture of him standing up on the board.
Yeah, I've got a photo of Hoops doing that as well.
it's not good. Do you link up with Tatey going surfing?
No. No,
is
I don't.
Is that something you'd be open to?
Probably not. I want to keep my ears because I'd probably chew them off. So, yeah, no.
What's your ideal date night, mate? I know you've got a missus. If you could do anything, you could go go-karting or movies or dinner. What's your sort of vibe there?
Ideal date night is probably whatever Lulu wants to do.
Yep.
Yeah, as you'd probably know.
Correct.
But a dinner's always nice. It's always nice to have a nice dinner. Yeah, it's probably – she's not much of a – I guess activity. She's not really into putt-putt, so
yeah.
I can't really do any of those activities sort of based sort of dates, so it's probably more of a dinner.
Yeah. Any good restaurants that you could sort of guide anyone into going to? Maybe Smithy?
This could be
essentially take Alex
to the sponsors list.
I've got a really good Japanese near her house in East Brisbane, Sushi Kotobuki.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyone from that side of Brisbane would probably know it. It's pretty outstanding.
Okay.
Yeah, would recommend.
Nass absolutely hammers that joint. He's been going there for years. It's so good.
Mate, so yeah, you're going to add that to our list of personal sponsors, or have you got any different ones to add to the sponsors list?
Yeah, we could add that. They'd probably be up for it, I'd say. Yeah. So yeah, we'll add that one in.
Give us a little discount. Give him a shout out on the pod, surely.
Hopefully.
So going into this weekend against the Highlanders fellas, what are we thinking? What do they bring? Strengths? How do you think they've gone the last couple of games? All that sort of stuff.
They're a pretty good team. They've got a big mobile forward pack, so we're going to have to work hard there to shut that down and shut their front football down and disrupt the ruck, I guess. It's a big focus for this week. And then in the backs, they've got some quick movers. So as a back line, we've just got to be switched on in defence and then just strike them with our attack players, really.
I think it's just looking to what we can do. Going into pre-Moana, we were one of the most disciplined teams in the comp and, you know, hadn't given away a card or anything like that. So keen to get back to those ways because I know that, the discipline stuff, especially this day and age with the power of the rolling maul, as you can attest, Matt, scoring tries off the back of those every week. And even just the how important 3 points is that, any time a team gets within the side of your 40 and you give away a penalty, they're either looking to the corner to try and convert and score 5 and maybe 7, or they're just looking straight to the points to get 3. So I think that's a pretty important key for us. And, yeah, as Harry said, trying to slow down their movement, they're pretty slick back line and, the forwards are pretty tough and mobile and trying to look to at least slow that breakdown down a little bit and allow our boys in the back line to get set and then rush up and put a bit of pressure on them and see how we go. Made all the much easier in front of a packed Suncorp, so it'd be great to try and get some good numbers like we've had the last few home games. Keep on coming down, get around the boys.
Yeah, it'll be an entertaining game. Both teams love to play footy, should be competitive. Both coming off a loss and in need of a good win. So this weekend's going to be a tough one, but great for spectators.
Has, just quickly touching back onto the footy stuff quickly, mate. What was that experience like getting your first Super Rugby? That's a bit different. You got your cap given to you in the first Queensland game, but had to wait a few more weeks to get your Super Rugby debut. How was that for you and your family?
Awesome, yeah. It was awesome to be able to play that at Suncorp against the old foe in the Waratahs. Pretty good script writing there, so yeah, it was pretty cool to be able to do that and to get a win. It was even better. So, yeah, it means a lot to myself and my family and hopefully it's not there's plenty more to come.
Was that something that you'd sort of set as a bit of a goal for the year previous or 2 years previous or 5 years previous, anything like that? Or is it kind of just chipping away as you go?
No, it was definitely a goal to get a debut this year. And then I guess anything on top of that, just bonus. So being able to get that in the first round is pretty cool. And yeah.
Keep pushing for more.
That's it.
Any interest in the higher honours? Obviously, you've had a look at those under-20s setups before, but is Wallabies an aspiration of yours now as well?
Yeah, for sure. I don't know any footy players in Australia who don't aspire to play for the Wallabies, so if I ever get that opportunity to pull on a gold jersey, it'd be amazing.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's a pretty cool opportunity we have, and all of a sudden, it's something that might seem pretty far away is all of a sudden pretty close. So, yeah, mate, I back in. Hope you get there.
Appreciate it, Smithy.
Okay, so it's become a bit of a thing for us on the Socks Up podcast, given its name, that each week we get the person that's coming onto the pod to shout out someone in the rugby community or at the Reds that needs to pull their metaphorical socks up. If we're on a HMP, I think he's got one for us, Smith. Harry, take it away, mate.
The person who needs to pull their socks up this week would be JTA, otherwise known as Bogsy. So a few stories getting around of him over in Whangarei, where he's clogged the toilet and forced him and his roommate to move rooms. So, yeah, I think JTA, pull your socks up, mate.
It was actually gold. There, the room next to us, so we had a really quiet time.
Nas,
his first day too.
Yeah, Nas was his roommate, and he was saying that they actually got an upgrade though. They got to go up into a better room because of
maybe that's the play. Yeah.
So think about that moving forward, Smith.
That's good, JTA. That's good for you.
Well, their season's come to a close, but our Queensland Reds Buildcorp Super Rugby women's team have had some ups and downs this year. Certainly one of the ups has been the performances of young outside back Caitlin Irwin. Queensland Red number 243. She plays for UQ in the Store Local Women's Premier Grade competition. She scored her first ever Super W try this year against the Western Force, and it's our pleasure to welcome Caitlin Irwin to the Socks Up Show.
Thank you. Hello, hello.
Hello. Thanks so much for coming on. We really appreciate your time. Heading straight into it, disappointing not to have made finals this year. It was a bit of a tough run, and early signs were pretty promising. And, you know, after a few games started to really gel together, that Rebels performance was a pretty tight one and, you know, ended up going right down to the wire and we got the win there. What are your reactions from the season?
Yeah, I guess result-wise, it was a pretty tough season for us. But, yeah, I think we built quite well, and even our game against the Waratahs, I don't think the scoreline really reflected the actual game. But I guess positives out of the season, I think we had maybe 13 debutants, and I think like maybe 8 of those were brand new to Super W altogether. So I think it's great that we've had so many new girls join the Reds and Super W altogether. So yeah.
Looking back on your year, you've obviously got Laurie and a few experienced girls in that sort of back three with Wongi as well. What are some of your takeaways or lessons that you think you can sort of take back to club footy for UQ this year?
Yeah, it was awesome having them on board this year. I think I've learned a lot from Laurie in particular, to really hold people accountable and expect the best from us, which, yeah, kind of just brings out. I don't know, I think it just makes us gel really well together. So yeah, it'd be awesome to take that back into UQ and, yeah, hopefully, you know, help those girls along as well. It'd be awesome.
Like you say, a lot of new girls into the squad, a bit of experience across the whole board there as well. Even a new coaching staff to boot as well. How did the coaches go this year and getting you girls ready and including that preseason? How do you think that set you guys up for the season?
We probably did start preseason a little bit later, but we still got a few good trial games in, and I think we showed some pretty promising some plays and games and that kind of thing through that. Just getting to know each other as coaching staff and players is always tricky. But, yeah, you know, I think towards the end there, we were definitely coming together a bit more.
Hey, Caitlin, Harry here. I saw you in the knee brace yesterday. How are you looking for a return to UQ this year?
Yeah, no, pretty good. It's, you know, looked a bit dramatic, I think, in the knee brace. But I actually get that off today. So stoked for that. And hopefully, yeah, back in the next 2 weeks playing some footy again. So, no, nothing too serious, thankfully.
We sort of actually noticed a couple of injuries getting around after that last game. You guys obviously wore your heart on your sleeve. What's the injury toll looking like, and how sort of the other girls getting around in moon boots and knee braces? I noticed that there are actually quite a few.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. I think our whole season was a bit injury-related. riddled, actually. You know, even having Wilksy go down against Drua, she was out for a couple of weeks. Luckily, we got her back. But, yeah, we had, I know, everything from broken legs to feet and knees and more. So it was pretty tough, but I think everyone's feeling pretty positive and, you know, on the mend. So hopefully we get to see a few more of those girls back in club this year as well.
Yeah, for sure.
With the Super W season all wrapped up, it kind of allows a lot of girls that have come through and, as you say, got debuts and got some experience in Super Rugby to now go back to the club land. Do you think that that injection of experience from Super W will have an effect on that QPR competition?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's great. Even like last week, I think a few of the girls came back from Sydney. If they didn't have too many minutes, they were already ready to play at clubs, so I think they're all really keen to get involved in. Yeah, I think it just helps the girls still at club, like, just have those few extra experienced girls back in. I think they can just point them in the right direction and yeah, really lift up that level of rugby as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm sure that's great for the growth of the game. Sort of just getting to know you on a personal level, what do you do outside of rugby, work-wise and interests, hobbies, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, well, I do hairdressing, so I do that kind of as full-time as I can. And, yeah, I've been doing that for maybe 7 years now. So kind of started at the same time as rugby, actually. So it's kind of gone hand in hand the whole time. But, yeah, I guess rugby is kind of the thing we do outside of work, isn't it? So, you know, apart from that, hanging out with my mates and going to the beach and whatnot. But, yeah, no, a lot of footy for us. So it's good.
So what actually got you into footy?
I grew up doing a lot of touch footy. And then I feel like it was kind of a natural progression to you know, add tackling into it and whatnot. I've got an older brother and he always played, you know, some sort of footy, whether it was league or union. And he doesn't have a brother, so I was kind of his tackle bag for a little while. And then, you know, I thought I could be all right at it too. So I just had a crack and, yeah, enjoyed it. But my first time playing in year 12, I played a bit of sevens. So.
Watching you play, you can definitely tell you've put some shots on your brother. You were pretty damaging in defence out there. I remember in the trial game watching that in Roma there, you were putting some wax on some girls. And then even again in that Rebels game, some big hits from you. Just finally, before we let you go, what's your prediction for the finals? We've got two massive games this weekend. Who do you think's going to take it all the way?
I think it's hard to go past the Tars. I think they've been in form all season, right from the trial. Scoring like 60-plus points on Drew has been pretty huge. So I'd probably back them. But, you know, I think the Force have been building each game as well, and they're really hungry for a win. So that'd be awesome to see too.
Well, book it in, Force Tars in the final. We'll see how that goes. Hey, thanks so much for giving up your time. We really appreciate it to come on the podcast and wish you all the best with your recovery and hopefully see you back out there for UQ a bit later on in the season and putting those big classic hits on.
Yeah, no, cheers for that, guys.
Harry, as we do every week, 10 quickfire questions. Try not to think about it too much. Just say whatever comes to your mind. Starting off with, what is your pre-game routine?
So pre-game, night before, I like to have a mac and cheese, a little homemade mac and cheese, a bit of chicken, a bit of frozen veg in there. Simple meal, get those carbs up. And then day of, just a nice brekkie, might go out. Don't know, nothing too fancy there. And then throughout the day, I just like to watch a bit of footy and then just get mind into the game a bit. Still just relax, and then that's pretty much it, really.
Is that homemade mac and cheese? Is that mum and dad spec? Or
no, that's me. Well, it's a packet. So I'm down at Coles getting my $2.50. No, it's MasterChef or Master Foods or something like that.
It doesn't make it that much better.
No, it doesn't. But
that's such a 20-year-old meal.
Oh, that's
good.
Gold.
It's good.
Righto, pre-game song.
Love Story, Taylor Swift.
You're kidding.
Really?
Really.
Swift's so slow.
Yeah, I like it. It's
calm. Yeah, calm.
Maybe just say yes.
Best and worst roommate on tour from the Reds?
Best, I have to go with my boy Junkyard Dog, Timmy Ryan. Yeah, he's just, good roomie. Play a bit of cards together, so I know he's good. And worst, probably have to go with Josh Fluke.
Yeah.
Not his fault, but when we were over in Perth, he had a bit of a head knock and got a bit of blood through his nose, so he was snoring all night. So that's my only experience with him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fluke. Yeah, the blood through his nose. Yeah, I'm sure that's it.
Yeah, I think he just is a snorer, isn't he?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
that was his excuse.
Yeah.
Best player you've played with and against?
One of the best players I've probably played with is down at the Flagpies, Cohen Herbert.
Okay.
He's, I just really like playing with him. I think we play pretty well together. And then against, probably go with just after recent experience with Julian Savia, the bus, he trucked over me to score on the weekend. So, yeah, that one hurt a bit.
Yeah, he's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Next Reds player to make their Wallabies debut.
Have to be Josh Fluke again. Yeah, he's been outstanding for us this season. The snorer.
What's your favourite movie and give us a quote from it?
Favourite movie? Could be The Waterboy, Adam Sandler.
I like it.
Yeah, Bobby Boucher.
You're in the room or what?
Water sucks. It really, really sucks. If you weren't playing rugby, what would you be doing?
Probably playing something else, playing rugby league or playing soccer. I don't know.
Rugby league more better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably it.
Yep.
Three dinner guests. Three dream dinner guests.
One would probably be Dan Carter. A bit of inspiration. Just got his new book, actually, for my birthday.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Another one, probably Denzel Washington.
Okay.
Yeah. Probably Denzel Washington. And then third one could be Prince Harry.
Oh, yeah. A
few good bit stories. Interesting.
Get the scoop on what's going on, what's really going on. Just,
get the inside scoop there. So, yeah, probably him.
What did you want to be when you grew up, when you were a kid?
Wallaby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was always the dream.
Nice.
Yeah. Hopefully we can make it happen.
That's pretty cool.
Death row meal. Entree, main, dessert, drink.
Entree, I'd go with some chicken satay skewers from Bangkok Milton in Toowong.
That's another shout out.
Main would probably be my mum's chicken Penang curry.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Spicy?
No. Not spicy. Dessert would be a chocolate flowers cake cooked by Lulu.
Oh.
Yeah,
she's a bit of a baker, so no, it's good.
Can we get a request in for next week?
Yeah, I'll see if we can get a Lulu sponsor.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Love that.
And drink, probably just maybe a cup of tea.
Okay.
Doesn't really go with the meal, but it's a bit boring to say water, so cup of tea.
Nice.
Okay, so like with the dream dinner, yes, you go Denzel, but if you had to pick a character of one of Denzel's movies, what do you reckon? I'm going Training Day Denzel.
Ooh. Equalizer Denzel.
Oh, yeah.
Equalizer. Yes. He's pretty cool. He's
pretty
cool in
two,
that.
Equalizer 3 came out, watched it on the plane.
He's actually quite cool in that one too.
Elite.
I'd maybe go 3.
HMP, thanks for coming on the show, mate. We really appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing more of you this year, steering the ship and barking orders at myself and the Piglet. Appreciate you giving up your time on your day off.
All right. Thanks for having me. It's pretty exciting to be on here and see what it's all about. So thanks.
Good to have you on, man.
Appreciate it.
Bring your partner, your mates, your work colleagues. We're going to be playing the ever-entertaining Highlanders at Suncorp Stadium Friday night, 7:35pm kickoff. Tickets at reds.rugby. It's due to be an exciting game. Let's get around it.
It's our first Friday night game of the year. No need to head home after work. Get straight down to Suncorp as we look to win our second home game against Kiwi opponents this year. 2 weeks in a row for the pod. Back next week ahead of the Blues game.